This is actually one of my favorite weeks of the year right now. I mean, a little bit last week and this week too. I really enjoy this time of year because I just got back from visiting family, my side of the family, and Rod and Gay, of course, also, and that's a blast. I love hanging out with my mom and dad, my brothers, you know, their families, and, you know, Brad, and, you know, getting to see what God is doing in their lives, and we don't see each other as often as we would like, but it's just really cool to see, wow. You know, like my dad, he's got some cool stuff going on. They're like, wow, that's really awesome, Dad. And, you know, sometimes it's, some years it's like, well, you're in a really tough spot this year, but I am so proud of how you're handling things. And, like, God is just doing some really awesome stuff in your life. Well, however it shakes out, I just love spending time with them and seeing what God is doing in their lives. And so when I come back home, and, you know, this time of year, the beginning of the year, you're thinking about New Year's resolutions, I'm looking at how people I love have grown and different things, so I start reflecting about on my own life, like, what kind of person was I this time last year, and this time next year, what's the man looking back at me in the mirror going to be like? And so I actually just really love this time of year for that. So who am I right now or tomorrow? I think for the believer, this should be a question that has a lot of hope in it. You know, maybe some anticipation. Like, I'm a chosen child of God, you know. Like, the Holy Spirit is in my life, and God has just blessed me. So who am I is a question that we should have a lot of freedom in, right? Now, here's what I'm not saying, okay? I am not saying that I could become Lindsay, okay? Like, that's no. Could I learn to sing better? Contrary to popular belief, yes. I probably could learn. If I practiced, took lessons, I could learn to sing better. Sing like Lindsay? Me? No. All right. But I do have the opportunity to grow in that. And, you know, maybe if I did practice really hard musically and I could somehow, for those of you who know me, this will stretch the imagination. If I could reproduce musically what Lindsay did, like, use that imagination, right? If I could do that, I still could not be Lindsay because I would be missing that special something, that gift that God has placed in her for leading worship. That's Lindsay. Like, that's not Josh. But it's really, really not Josh. There are a couple incidents involving a ukulele and youth worship that there are plenty of stories out there. But I am free to become who God has made me to be. I am free to look at the character of God and say, you know, like, you know, those, that list in Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit and things like that. Wow, I just really want to be more generous. I can pray and ask God, Lord, you know, teach me to be more generous. And, you know, I partner with the Holy Spirit and step into that. And before you know it, I'm giving more of my time, my energy, my resources, my heart than I ever thought I could. And yeah, there's a lot of freedom in that. Who am I? I get to step into that as a believer. And also, there's that something that God has placed in us that's just you. I believe that when God said that he made man in his image, I kind of extrapolate that out. We all bear God's image on us, and we all look different because God's so big, and so only bronze can show that part of God. And so I get the freedom to step into that. So who am I? There are two ways I like to think about this question. There are things that are generally true, okay? I am terrible at sports. That's true for a lot of people. Like, I mean, you could say that. I am blessed. I'm forgiven of my sins. That's true for the believer, okay? So, then there's also the specific things, the specific, like, that is just you stuff. Obviously, I am not going to try to identify to this room full of people all of your individual, specific, this is who you are. That's a journey of a lifetime, really. But before we get too far into this, I would like to talk about what happens when you believe something about yourself that is not true. Okay? For myself, there was a period of time where, you know, there were a lot of opportunities thrown my way that I did not perform as well, as good at all. And so it became, I got into this funk, and I, man, I'm a failure. And what do failures do? They fail. And man, if there were a contest that you don't want to win, I think I could win that one. Like I failed all kinds of stuff. It was really incredible and very depressing. And so with my identity as a failure, what does a failure do? He fails. And then God began ministering to me, hey, let me fix that lie. I mean, maybe that in one sense could be considered true, but that's not really the truth that I built into you. And so he started ministering to me through people and, you know, through his spirit that, you know, Josh, your identity is more my servant. I have a purpose for you. The verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That one really spoke to me that, oh, that's who I am. I am created for good works for God to do through me. And so as I began to replace my identity as, you know, I'm not a failure, but I'm an instrument of God. Failing, you know, that was just something I did some of, and turned out that as my identity changed, I did that less, okay? Are you tracking with me? If you've got a bad, if your identity is liar, what do liars do? They lie. You don't want to have this false image of who you are. That's very important, okay? Are you tracking with me? Robert is. Thank you. All right. God is actually in the business of giving new identities. It's all throughout the Bible. I just listed a couple there's probably more. There's Abram to Abraham. There's Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul. My favorite is actually Jacob to Israel. That's, I think, Genesis 35. Jacob was a name that means deceiver. And Israel, I looked up a bunch of meanings for that, and they were all like God fights or triumphant with God. I'm like, going from liar to mess with me and God's going to wreck you, that's a really good name change. All right, so who am I today? Okay? There is a teaching in some parts of the church that I don't know if it's real strong here. I sure hope it's not, that you know, we're sinners. Okay, well, that was true at one time. Not so true anymore, okay? All right, not because you guys are awesome. I mean, I think you're pretty awesome. But in this, you're not enough to do that. This is a God has done it thing. Let's go to the Bible. I messed up. You guys are really good. Wow, you guys got that up there. Okay, great. I sent my notes wrong, and so we're going to go into Romans. If you've got a Bible app or a Bible with you, probably want to go ahead and flip to Romans. We're going to start in chapter 1, and I'm going to just hang out in Romans a lot-ish, kind of. So, Romans, chapter 1, verse 7, just part of it. To all those who are in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Does it say sinner or saints?
Saints.
Oh, interesting. Chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, something, something. Verse 17, for in it righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. live by being awesome or by faith? Ah, very cool. Chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Fancy word there, propitiation. I looked it up to make sure I didn't lie to you this morning. Basically, what propitiation means is God said, hey, y'all done me wrong. We got a problem between us. Look, I'm going to take your mess. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to give you something better than what you had before. Okay? That's what that is. Chapter 5, verse 19. For as by the one man's disobedience, talking about Adam back in Genesis, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you could be thinking to yourself, student ministry team leader Josh, you don't understand. I've done really bad things. Are those things part of all? Okay, yes, by definition. And did Christ's sacrifice on the cross cover all sin? Yeah. You're covered, okay? You're covered. Oh, but Josh, student ministry team leader Josh, I don't deserve his grace. Yeah, you're right. That's why we called it grace, not what you earned. Like if it were God's what you earned, we'd call it the God's what you earned. Instead, we call it God's grace, what you didn't earn, what he has done for you. This is tough to accept. There was a time years ago, my brother and his wife were living with my folks, and then they, you know, went on to go do something else, and my folks came to me, and they said, hey, Josh, as you know, we helped out your brother and his wife for a little while, and they stayed with us, and there were some financial benefits to that, and we calculated out what that was, and we figure it was this number. I think it was like in the neighborhood of like $3,000 or something like that. Like, holy smokes, Mom, Dad, I don't need that. Like, I'm actually okay financially. Like, you really don't have to do this. Like, this is so. I'm cool with it that you helped out my brother and his wife. That is wonderful. I'm so glad you did that. That really doesn't bother me. And I said, well, we know, Josh, but, you know, just in the interest of equity, we want to make sure that we, you know, bless you equally as well. And I, Mom, Dad, we're good. I don't care about equity. We're fine. And they said, well, we do care about equity, all right? Let me translate for you from my polite family background. That is, shut up and take the money, okay? This is a spiritual lesson sometimes, all right? God is wanting to give you a gift. There aren't strings attached. Like, it's not like, okay, well, now you're in trouble. I'm going to get the better of you now. No, no. It's a gift. It's a blessing. Yes, amen. Shut up and take the money. All right? Okay. Okay. Romans chapter 6. It is like verse 1-ish. I mean, ish. It is verse 1. Okay. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. This is kind of hitting the same nail on the head. Let's do that some more. Let's beat that horse to death. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Oh, but student ministry team leader Josh, that's just one book of the Bible. Well, it's like the whole book of it, but just in case, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll just read it real quick for you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We need to stop calling ourselves sinners, amen. Church, okay? We are saints. Yes. Sinners do sinner stuff. Saints do saint stuff. That old man, he was dead. Yes. You got baptized? That is a prophetic act. Just like Naaman in 1 Kings chapter 5, he went and washed himself 7 times in the river, came out clean of leprosy the 7th time, okay? That was a prophetic act. God said, go and do this out of obedience, and boom, I'm going to do something cool. Old man's dead. Oh, I'm a sinner. No, that guy's dead. God didn't counsel him. He didn't cure him. He killed him. Okay? All right. Okay. Some of you, I need to back up and make this real clear. For some of you sitting where you are, you may feel like this is a message of condemnation. No. This is a message of hope. Amen. This is a message of grace. Well, I came to Christ and I have these things that I'm still struggling with. I'm coming through with these things. Like I try to clean up my act and then I do this and that one thing. Or this is hope. Yes. This is saying we're not stuck there anymore, okay? We're going to talk a little bit more about that process of our lives coming to line up more and more with God. We call that sanctification. Sounds kind of like saint. You can think of it as sanctification if you really want to. That's all right. Okay? Okay, so you're not a sinner any longer. Sinners sin. Now you're a saint. What does that mean? What do saints do? What is saint stuff? Now, real quick, we are talking about some general truth of all believers in our identity. This is by no means an authoritative all there is to know about it. I'm not intending to give you everything. Part of the fun of it is discovering it with God. Okay? So I'm going to give you a couple things that I think are real big that saints do. There's more. Really enjoy finding the more. But let me give you a few things. One, what do saints do? They have relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, well, you got baptized into the relationship with Jesus. You probably ought to continue that relationship with Jesus. John chapter 10, specifically verse 4, talks about how Jesus' sheep know his voice. How does that happen? How, as a saint, do I get to discern Jesus' voice? Typically, it's through practice, okay? You want to know the Bible. Some people have a really hard time reading the Bible. My encouragement to you would be to just discipline yourself to just do it and ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what is going on in the pages. We have the interweb. I've got like this tiny little computer in my pocket. I can get on Google. It turns out Google knows the Bible really well. And like there are Bible apps. There are things that you have, no one before you has had the amount of resources that you have at your disposal to understand God's word. There's really great ones out there. If you're looking for something, maybe get one of those Bible apps. I like YouVersion. There's others. You can do devotionals on there where you can just really begin to understand more about the Lord and the character of God. So when you hear this voice that says, hey, you should go do this, you can say, oh, that's weird. That is not lining up with Scripture. You're not Jesus. Okay? I don't know. I'm sure that there were people doing this before I came into ministry, but now that I hear stuff sometimes like, Jesus is telling me to go do this thing that is clearly against Scripture. Not Jesus Christ. I don't know what Jesus you're listening to, but if it contradicts Scripture, you really want to check that out. If it contradicts your understanding of Scripture, maybe you want to go buddy up with a believer that you trust, that you know hears God's voice well. Maybe several. This really leads us into another thing that saints do. They engage in community with the believers. Okay? Let's look at this. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's just one verse. There's a bunch of them. I like another one. It's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Okay, if you are a saint, one of the things saints do is they get together with other saints and encourage one another. All right? This is important if you want to be moving on that sanctification, that sanctification process, okay? There's more here. Sanctification, of course. One of my favorite ones here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, and I'm going to add something in here, church staff, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I don't mind being called youth pastor, that's fine. I cannot stand being called youth minister. Okay, yes, I do minister to the youth. But that implies I'm the only one. I actually lead a team of student ministers. Some of them we call youth coaches. They are wonderful people. Some of them we call students. My job isn't to go reach the high school. My job is to equip the saints. Who are saints? To go do the work of ministry. Your job is ministry. Saints do ministry. If you want to see God move in power in your life, you might want to do something that he wants to move in power in. Okay? So, saints do ministry, and it is awesome. All right. We are going to have lunch on time. Excellent. Who am I specifically? It is okay to look at yourself in the mirror and answer this question some, all right? Who has God made me as an individual? I can look in the mirror and I can answer some of that question, all right? I want to be real careful here, though, because this is not actually the best way. It's not the only way, and it's actually far from the best way to discover who has God really made you to be, okay? But it is okay, some of it, so I want to make sure I mentioned that. So, how do I discover who am I specifically? You actually do the same stuff saints do. I was, like, trying to come up with something deep and everything that... We already talked about that. And so, like, as, you know, I was praying to God, he was like, well, you know, what does a saint do? They have a relationship with Jesus. How do I figure out who I am? I could maybe talk to the one who made me. Maybe the God of the universe who designed me before he laid the foundation of the world had something in mind when he made me. Referring back to that verse I mentioned earlier, which if I try to tell you where it is, I'll tell you wrong. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yeah, he intended to make you. And he intended to make you a certain way. Okay? I remember having this... one of the most intimate interactions with the Lord that I had ever had to date. I mean, it's up there. I was in a moment where I was prayer journaling, which is basically writing my prayer out and, you know, listening and writing out what God is saying. And I said, God, I really know well the things in my life that you're not happy with. I know what you don't like about me, God. What is it you do like about me? And then God began to pour out to me, Josh, you think that if I wanted you to be a math genius, I couldn't have built you that way? Okay, you got a C in math. You think that I couldn't have made you better in this way or that way? I couldn't have built you to be a better athlete? Yes, I understand. It is important to work hard, study. If you've got a test coming up, yes, pray, and then study. Okay, students? Actually, you guys are older than my usual group that I'm talking to, but you get the idea, right? So, but God had, he poured out to me, Josh, what I love is that you love me. I made you to be in relationship with me. This is what I love. Pursue me, put me first. That's all you got to do. I'll take care of the rest. That to me, as a, I think I was like 20, 21, that blew my mind completely. Sanctification. This process of coming to look more like God's character so that we can live more under his blessing. This can sometimes reveal a little bit specifically about who you are as a person. If, let's say, that this is actually a really common one in our area. I'm not trying to call anybody out. This is a place of grace and hope. That maybe one of the things that you've done in your life is however it came about, that your way of going and having fun, letting loose, and just having a good time, which we need to do, maybe your way of doing that involves excessive amounts of alcohol, okay? When God reveals to you, hey, that is taking a place in your life that I wanted to put something better in. When God shows you that, and you step into that, this is the sanctification, this is how it works, and that gets out of the way, it may be that one of your great gifts is that you are incredibly fun, and there doesn't even need to be alcohol. Yes. That is a ministry. If you can get people to come and just enjoy life for a moment, if you've got a gift there, wow. Is that needed in the church today? Amen. Yeah? So, that's just one example. I'm not trying to call anybody out or anything. That's, God has, I'm in the process of sanctification as well. I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I will anyway. yesterday we had a meeting with a leadership, and all you guys are starting to look real nervous. But during this meeting, you know, I was saying stuff and whatever, and then I came back here and there were like 10 of us at that meeting, so 9 people besides me. And I was studying, like, one of the things that God has been working on me in is in the past I've been careless with people's emotions, their hearts, and things like that. And so, you know, as I was studying, you know, the different things would come to my mind, like, hey, you said this, and maybe your intent was good, but that could have been taken really in a way that you didn't intend, and so, oh, well, I better text that person and make sure that we're okay, or, you know, hey, there might have been something there in that comment there. You better make sure that you're okay. I mean, in ministry, there's just not room for divisions between people the way it ought to be, and so, like, oh, okay. 9 other people, 5 of them I had to reach out with and make sure we don't have any mess between us. And like one of them was like, hey, yeah, there actually is something. Oh my goodness, let's set something up to clean that up. I did not intend that at all. And so We engage in the sanctification process, partnering with God. God, you have revealed this to me. This is an area where you want me to look more like you so that you can bring your blessing into my life. And so we engage that. That reveals something. Sometimes when we get to that, certainly it's a process of improving our character, but sometimes every now and then you reveal that special, wow, nobody has made, you know, Johnny. No, nobody can do this the way Johnny does. That is revealing about who you are specifically. Also, we participate in ministry. How are you supposed to know that you are really good at leading Bible studies until you start participating in a Bible study? Right? And so maybe God has given you a gift for communicating biblical truths that just make them so accessible to people. If you don't try communicating biblical truth, then that will be a treasure that you never uncover. So engage in ministry one way or another, okay? Just jump in somewhere. And the final thing about how I want to talk to you about how we discover our who we are really is, I said it's okay to look in the mirror, but really it's better when you have somebody else looking at you and telling you, hey, Josh, you did your hair? You thought it looked good. God bless Lindsay, okay? All right. But, I mean, engaging in the community of the saints is essential. If you want to know who you are going to need people to speak truth to you about who you are. Okay? Maybe I shouldn't be saying about this morning because, I mean, you obviously braved the ice to get here. But if you're not engaged in a small group, if this is your only community among the saints, you are missing out. God wants to talk to you, and he's not always going to do it one-on-one, which is exciting, okay? You guys are going to be hearing more about a ministry that I need to be careful that I don't go another hour talking about this prophetic class that's coming on. It's basically, we are going to learn how to speak God's heart to people. Like, Lord, what is it that you would want to tell Susie right now? Okay, I'll go say that to her. That's what this class is about. That sounds really scary and intimidating, but it is phenomenal. That will be on Wednesday nights, and I need to stop talking about it, or I'm not going to talk about anything else. So, as a believer, there are some things that are just true because of what God has done for you. This year, as we are thinking about who we are, I really encourage you to step into that. There's grace in knowing that you're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. Okay? This year, I so look forward to God ministering in my life that as I go and participate in sanctification and all the different things, Lord, what are you going to do in me? What are you going to grow in me? What are you going to reveal in me? And church, I'm so excited about what he does in your life with that too. But partner with him, okay? Partner with God in knowing what it is, how he has made you. In truth, this is how we are going to know what God is going to do here this year. In 2017, I think God intends to do amazing stuff in our community here in Journey and in Fernley. But he wants to do it in you first, okay? So, as you're asking yourself, who am I? Get a little anticipation and partner with God. All right, let me pray for you. Lord, I just thank you so much that you love us to the point where you just won't leave us right where we are. You come and meet us where we are, God, but you say you're not stuck. I'm strong enough to move you forward. God, I ask that we would be a people that seek to glorify you in our lives, Lord, and that we would step into our identity that you have paid for on the cross, that we can become more like you. And I thank you that you have given special things inside of us that we get to step into and discover this gift that you have given us, that you've given to the world through us, in that special treasure of identity and who we are, God. Thank you, Jesus. We're entering into another time of worship. If you would like prayer, maybe there's something that you ask yourself the question, who am I? And there are answers that make you feel hopeless. Don't keep that to yourself. There are people who would love to pray with you this morning, all right? Maybe you heard about baptism and you realize, I did not act out in obedience there to go and follow what God has done. Let him do something miraculous in my life through that. If you would like to do that for the first time, please come talk to us up front. We would love to partner with you in seeing God make you who you were made to be.